Evening, church. Tonight's Bible reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 15 to 21. If you're in the Brown Pew Bible, that's on page 1159, and it's also on your screen. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 21. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you join me in prayer one more time as we approach God's word? Lord, thank you that you have spoken to us. Lord, thank you that you have not just told us that we should be careful, that we should know your will, Lord, that you have taught us in your word. Lord, as we sit under your word, we ask that you would take these eternal truths and bind them to our hearts. By your Spirit, change and transform us more and more in the likeness of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, last Sunday evening, we considered what the Bible teaches us about praying together. And tonight, I wanted to take time to consider another element of our worship when we worship together as the body of Christ, namely singing. If you notice that every church you go to has music, even though music is not easy. It takes work, it takes preparation, it takes practice. Our musicians work hard to prepare every Sunday in order to help lead and accompany us in the song. And it's the part of the service, as you all well know, where something can most easily go wrong and be noticed by most people. Right? Other things that might go wrong, you might have to be paying attention to notice. If I have a slip of the tongue as I'm speaking, you sort of move on, and you can kind of forget about it fairly quickly. But if something goes wrong in the music, everybody feels it. And it's not like our music, as we're gathering together, is something that we're going to go out and, you know, make a lot of album sales with, right? This is not the best, most professionally produced music you can hear, especially not nowadays when you can listen to whatever you feel like at a moment's notice. So, why do we do it? Why do Christians always sing together? Well, that passage that John just read for us gives us many reasons, and the simplest and most obvious is this. Why do we sing together? Because the Bible tells us so. Why do we sing together? Because the Lord has told us to sing together, and this, friends, is one of the easiest commands in the Bible to obey. But we should be like every toddler we've ever known. Rather than just hearing, okay, we've been told to do this, so let's do it, let's ask, but why should we do it? That's why I want to spend the rest of our time together. Six brief observations from this passage of why we ought to sing together, why congregational singing, singing together as a church, matters. First, why does congregational singing matter? It matters because it's a way to hear God's word. We sing God's word. Look there in verse 19. Paul directs us to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So, okay, what's the content of those psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? It's implied here in Ephesians, I think you pick it up, but in Colossians 3:16, which mirrors this passage very closely, Paul puts it more starkly. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What are we supposed to sing? Are we supposed to speak to one another in song? The word of Christ. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That range is all words that are used to describe the Psalms in the Old Testament. The book of Psalms, inside the Psalms, are referred to, different ones of them, as a psalm or a hymn or a spiritual song. So there are different kinds of genres, and what they mean exactly, it's not quite clear. Scholars discuss this, and about every 20 years kind of revise a little bit what each one of these are. But what they strike us as isn't a bad range. It tells us about lots of different kinds of songs that are all biblical in content, right? You know, I hear that list, Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and that makes me think of songs in the Bible, old songs, and new songs. And that's not what they mean directly, but that's not a bad range of sort of songs to have in your mind. We've got songs in the Bible. We've got 150 songs in the book of Psalms that the people of Israel would have sung together in worship at different times of the year. And then we have other songs, songs like those we've considered the last two Sundays and on Christmas Day, from Mary and Zechariah and the angels. Friends, it's good to sing and to sing biblical truth by singing songs that are a part of the Bible. It's good to sing songs that older saints who have gone before us wrote down in order to adorn and present biblical truth in poetic and striking ways. And it's good to sing new songs. We want to sing together biblical truth in songs that come from different times and different places and different Christian people to remind ourselves that we're all worshiping the same Lord together. We're all united with God's people in all places and all times through Jesus. More on that in a moment. Consider, we're commanded to speak these things to one another. So when we sing, what matters in our singing? What matters in our worship, musical worship together? Well, it matters that the songs we sing are theologically rich and filled with biblical truth. And so I say that we want to have a sort of a range of different styles, but in one sense, the melody, the tune, is secondary. What matters in what we sing is the substance. Does it help us understand the Bible better? Does it accurately convey what the Bible teaches us about the Lord? That's what makes a good Christian song. The melody, in some ways, is kind of like that shell on the outside of a pill. Right? You know what the point of that shell on the outside of the pill is? It's to help you to get the medicine down deep where it will do you the most good. That's what the melody is there for. It's to get the truth down deep where it will do you the most good. Why does it matter that we sing as a congregation? Because it helps us hear God's word. Secondly, because singing shows gratitude. Singing shows gratitude. Look there in verses 19 and 20, the end of 19. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19 tells us that we're to sing, we're to speak to one another. The act of singing is aimed at each other, and at the same time, it is aimed at the Lord. We're making music in our hearts and expressing thankfulness to God. Singing is a right expression of gratitude to God. That's the spiritual sort of activity that's happening. You know, sometimes people might say afterwards, might say to me or might say to Helen, which is less helpful, I didn't really enjoy that song that we sang. And when I hear feedback like that, I really want to graciously, gently, lovingly tell people, we did not sing it for your enjoyment. we sang it to express gratitude to our Lord and God. Singing is not the only way that we worship, we ascribe worth to God, but it is a particularly appropriate way to worship the Lord. There's a reason why throughout the book of Revelation, the Apostle John presents the people in heaven singing a new song. And he says that to refer to celebrating salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the greatest reason for us to sing praise to the Lord, and there is something about the beauty of the gospel that should absolutely drive us to our knees in song. That's the greatest thing the Lord has done. God is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and yet he who was rich beyond all splendor became low. Tis mystery all, the immortal became a man and died. He showed amazing grace to wretches like me. In Christ alone our hope is found. He is our light and song. And now Jerusalem is our happy home. We long to come to and see where congregations ne'er break up and Sabbaths have no end. Because what I just did was describe different parts of the gospel by just quoting songs to you. Because all those are songs that Christians have written out of wonderful gratitude to the Lord for what he's done in Jesus Christ. We sing to show God gratitude. Thirdly, congregational singing matters because it builds up our faith. It builds up our faith. Let's return back to that first sentence in verse 19. Speak to one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Entangled with praising God is speaking truth to one another. This is why I've worked really hard. I messed up once, but I've worked really hard so far not to say musical worship, but to say congregational singing, because the point of what we're doing is not to have music. The point is to have singing. It's not a wrong thing to have instruments, but the point of the instruments is not the instruments. The purpose of the instruments are to accompany. They help us, but our voices are the main instrument. The point of congregational singing is for us to speak truth to one another in song. The most important instrument in our music, once again, is the voice of the entire congregation as we speak truth to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's why it matters that we sing and we sing loudly so that each other can hear one another. Now, this is the point in a sermon about this passage where some of you are thinking quietly to yourselves, yeah, but not everybody should sing loudly. And I understand, friends, that some people cannot carry a tune even with a bucket. Some people could not sing a song so that you could tell what they're singing, even if their life depended on it. And I understand that when they are sitting behind you in the service, singing loudly, that also makes it hard for you to be able to know how to sing. I understand all those things. But what I want you to recognize is that the standards of what makes congregational singing beautiful is not the same thing that makes professional music beautiful. We are in the business of beautifully, musically speaking truth to one another. What matters most is not the quality of your voice, brother. What matters most is that the words that are coming out of your mouth are true and good. It's the fact that you, like me, excuse me, you who are a sinner, saved by grace, like me, and you have believed on Jesus Christ, and you are affirming to me that you believe those things are true and good and lovely. I mean, truly, friends, if on a Sunday morning the congregation sang so loudly that the musicians up here could not get us to stay on the right tempo, that would not be a problem for our worship. You know, if you struggle with fear or anxiety about the quality of your voice when you sing, remember seriously the words of Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Forget about how well you think you can sing. Instead, consider how when they hear you affirming the truth in these songs, you are actively building up fellow Christians to keep believing the Bible, to keep holding fast to the Lord's promises, to keep celebrating the goodness of God. Let that motivate how loudly you sing. How much do you want the people around you to hear and remember and to hold on to biblical truth? And as a personal testimony, let me encourage you, the more you give yourself to congregational singing, the more that you experience singing where you can hear one another more than you can even hear the music from the instruments from the front, your tastes in what you find beautiful in music will begin to change. Singing builds our faith. Fourthly, singing shows unity in diversity. Here's that Jonah read for us, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Often people connect this to what follows next, where he talks about husbands and wives and children and parents and slaves and masters, but this is also part of the context of that command, to submit to one another. Friends, singing is a wonderful exercise of the command to submit to one another. When we are singing with each other, it is an expression of submission to one another as parts of the same body doing something together. I don't know if you've noticed, if you are paying attention before the service or after the service, when Scott is noodling on the piano or other Scott is playing the guitar on his own, you realize that when they are playing during the service, they are holding back from how they could be playing. They are restraining themselves so that instead of their instrument drawing the attention, they're accompanying our singing. So they are submitting to the body even as they lead. Last week in this service, we sang A Mighty Fortress. And in the first verse, I sang the second line by myself because I knew the song without a rest between the first and second line. Scott, who is leading us, did not know the song in that way. Now, the second verse, I did not do that. Why? Well, yeah, because it was embarrassing to be the only one singing when I was waiting for everyone else. But why was it embarrassing? It was embarrassing because we all know that we're all trying to sing together. So when I realized my mistake, then in the next verse, I wanted to sing the way that Scott was leading us to sing the song rather than insisting on my own way. You see, it was submission to the body. Ryan Molinari, who is a sister who's recently written a book on corporate worship, describes it this way. She says, when we gather for worship, we have a choice. Will we sing like soloists or will we sing like a choir? Will we come selfishly bent on our own ways or determined to practice self-control by serving one another? Will we seek to show off our voices or use them to support those around us? Will we keep silent during the songs that we don't like? Or will we sing them out of love for others? Our singing is not meant to further division or dissension, which are works of the flesh. Our singing is to teach us mutual submission as we join together in both musical and interpersonal harmony. In this way, it helps us develop relational self-control if we let it. Friends, to put that in another way, singing together gives us a safe space to practice submitting to one another in situations that are not as personally fraught as when we are in individual conversations with each other. Singing helps us build the discipline. of submitting to one another, of self-control that then should flow over into the rest of our lives together. And singing with that kind of self-control helps us celebrate our unity even as all of our voices are different and unique. This is why previous generations of Christians put so much work into developing four-part harmony for the songs that they wrote. Yes, it's because it sounds beautiful when it's done well, but the reason why they put that work in is because it is a musical expression of the fact that we in the body of Christ are not all equally given the same skills and gifts, and that is to the benefit of the whole body. Not all of us can sing the high notes of a soprano, and not all of us can sing the low notes of a bass, but when we sing those high notes and those low notes together, submitting to one another with restraint and control, something more beautiful than the sum of its parts is produced. And that's exactly what the life of a church together is like. When we all use our gifts for the good of the body, though they are different, the whole body is built up. Singing helps us show unity in diversity. Fifthly, singing directs our affections. You look there in verse 18, Paul contrasts being drunk on wine with being filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk on wine, be filled with the Spirit. You know, isn't it interesting? Outside of a church service, the only place where I can think of where you hear, you know, congregational singing, a whole crowd of people singing, is a place where people are drunk. You know, in a pub, at a footy match. Singing often directs and releases built-up energy of a drunken crowd. But that's not what we want. What we want is singing that is the overflow of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, causing us to sing praises to the Lord. Martin Luther said this about singing. He said, "A greater praise of music than this we cannot conceive. If you want to revive the sad, startle the jovial, encourage the despairing, humble the proud, pacify the raving, calm the hate-filled, what can you find that works more effectively than music?" It's good to sing joyful songs about what God has done in Christ, even when you are depressed, or maybe especially. It's good to sing songs about trusting God in suffering, even when you feel like life is going great, because it directs our affections. And then lastly, singing. Why congregational singing? Because it's a good use of time. Look there at the beginning of this passage. You notice how Paul put this? He said, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was to try to give a concrete application to follow that charge, to make the most of every opportunity, to be wise, to know the Lord's will, singing is not the first thing at the top of my mind. And yet that's what Paul goes on to mention directly after this. Directly after making the most of every opportunity, he exhorts us to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Gathering with Christians to sing together is a wise way to spend your time. I have a friend who pastors in a house church in China, and we met when he was in the United States for theological study. We were members of the same church together. He had become a believer in university in China and had only ever been a part of house churches his entire Christian life until the opportunity came to come to the U.S. for study. So one time I asked him, you know, what's different about worship in the churches you grew up in as opposed to worship at our church? And I was kind of hoping for some, you know, maybe he would spot some weird American cultural stuff that was going on in the service. That's what I was kind of aiming for. But his response was this. He said, the biggest difference is here. We can hear the congregation sing. You see, in his house church, in order to not draw unnecessary attention from the authorities, when they sing, they whisper sing. They can't hear each other. He said, the best thing about studying in the U.S. was being able to hear other Christians sing. And how often do we cut ourselves off from that same blessing? Not because we're in danger, because we think it would be better just to hear the trained musos sing. How often do we cut ourselves off from that blessing? Not because the police are threatening to shut down our gathering, but because we don't particularly like this one tune. Let's not neglect the sacred duty we have to speak psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. Let's not neglect the wonderful privilege we have to sing praises to our Lord together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you teach us how to live, and thank you that your commands are good and enjoyable. Lord, cause us to have hearts that overflow with gratitude and thankfulness to you for what you have done in Christ. Lord, help us to labor hard to build up each other in song. We pray this depending on your Spirit and trusting that you'll use it for the glory of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.